This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. And our special guest on today's episode of 5x5, Star Snyder. Star, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jason.
So great to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, a little bit about me. So I work for the wonderful Candy Factory that is located here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where we are in fact recording 5x5.
That's correct.
I work as a community facilitator over here in our studios building, which houses our media studio as well as all of our private offices.
We love having you here.
I love being here.
It's great. And it's great to have you on the show because a lot of people don't know this. I'm going to peel back the curtain
for
just a moment. But Star is actually part of our production team.
Wow. Mm. It's so exciting.
So she works on this show. So I really don't have to explain to her how it works. But I will explain to you, members of our global audience, and hopefully new members of our audience.
Yes.
I have an iPad. His name is Frank. He's sitting right next to me. And Frank will dish up five random topics. And then we will talk about each topic for about 5 minutes. Not about, exactly 5 minutes. And then we hear a little jingle. We move on to the next topic. It's a very simple show.
Super easy.
And as Star mentioned, we are recording here at the So Good Media Studio at the Candy Factory, also known as TCF. It's a membership club. It's like a work club is what it is. You can join for as little as $125 a month. That's our community membership. Get you in the door anytime we're open. Or you can go all the way up to having a private office. Although I believe there's a waiting list right now.
There is presently a waiting list.
But you could do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that.
Yeah, join the list.
The program is brought to you by TCF. We couldn't do it without the mothership, TCF, and also brought to you by So Good Lancaster. Check out SoGoodLancaster.com. Follow us on the social media stuff, and you'll see what's going on and what makes Lancaster so good. Part of it.
Just a small
because there's so much that if we talked about all of it, it would be like YouTube. We would be uploading billions of minutes of stuff every minute.
Yeah.
So it'd be so much good.
Did you know that YouTube is like, there's like billions of minutes of video uploaded every four seconds or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like, which is nuts.
Some ridiculous amount of video.
People got a lot of things to share.
They do.
Yeah. Diggs, my friend, always a pleasure to hang out with you.
And you.
And this is episode 79 of this gift to the internet we call 5x5. Episode 79.
Wow.
Are you guys ready to go? Are you feeling loose? Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling ready. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm ready for it. Frank, you know, I'd be interested if you would dish up topic number one. Pen. Pen.
As in P-E or P-I?
Oh, pen. Pen. P-E-N.
Okay.
Writing utensil.
I am a big fan of pens.
Do you like pens?
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
I do, actually. I used to be a big Parker fan.
Okay.
I was very...
Are you super specific about your pens? Meaning like you'll use another pen?
Yeah.
Like if you're at an office, signing insurance, and they're like, here's a pen. You're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But
if
you had your druthers, would you reach inside your jacket and pull out your
special Diggs pen?
I would. So I'm not that. I just, for like school work, when you had to have a pen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then, you know, we're so digital now that it's kind of fallen by the wayside. I haven't had a Parker pen in a long time. But if I was still in an environment where I needed to write a lot, I would prefer to have a Parker. My only real rule now is I'm not a big fan of gel pens. I've never been a big fan of gel pens.
Oh, interesting.
Because I smudge. I write very close to the paper, so I'm always ending up with like.
I'm total gel ink.
But how do you avoid the smudge?
It's an art form.
It's a skill he's acquired.
No, I haven't. Like I screw it up all the time.
Oh, okay.
But
so
I
you're
love
still crafting it.
I love how it feels.
Now, like, which part of it? The
writing it.
Okay.
Not like rubbing it. To smear it like I'm an artist. Mm. I'm like the Pollock, the 21st century Pollock of pens.
Right.
I just write a bunch of stuff and smear it all over the paper.
Mm.
That's actually not a bad idea.
It's not.
Oh, nobody steal that. Yeah. But I like, I like the where the ink flows.
Okay.
I like the gel pens. I actually did an experiment recently between the 0.05 millimeter and the 0.707 or something. And there's like three kinds you can get.
Oh, is this like the felt tip gel? Or not the gel, but the...
It's the gel pen. It's like the I don't know.
I didn't mean felt. I said
T-U-L is a brand.
Okay, yeah.
Right, whatever. And they have the... And I was like, oh, you know what? I like it really fine. So I got these 0.05s, way too fine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And yeah, then no. I tried the one, whatever, mm-hmm. 0.1. And then I ended up on the 7, the mediums.
Okay.
I'm like a Goldilocks.
I was, mm-hmm. Yeah, just mm-hmm. like a Goldilocks scenario.
Right down the middle.
Yep.
And that's my preferred. Like, if you give me a ballpoint pen... Mm-hmm. I will reluctantly use it to write down a quick thing, and then I will throw that motherfucker in. You know what I mean? I will just...
Discarding that pen.
You hand it back with disdain.
Yeah, yeah. Star, you have a preference?
I don't have a preference as far as, like, gel or, like, 0.5, 0.1, whatever goes. But I don't really love pens that you have to take the cap off of. I feel like that's just extra plastic and also a nuisance to me when I'm trying to write. I like clicky pens.
Clicky pens.
It also gives me an activity to do when I'm feeling antsy.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of everyday objects that give me an activity.
Okay. Oh,
okay. Built-in fidgets.
Yes.
It's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly about the cap.
It's so annoying.
You go, well, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to lose it, number
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
You got to keep up with it. Now you got two pieces. One of them you're not going to use until you're right. done.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what's more annoying?
What?
When if it looks like a click pen, but it's actually a twist.
Deception.
Those drive me nuts. Because then you're just like,
why isn't it going? Yeah.
Or you know what might actually drive me more nuts? The ones where you click it, but then you don't click it to unclick. You got to flip the pocket holder. You know what I'm talking about?
So I can't even deal with it. I can't even.
Right, and it's like, why is there this extra? You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a spring loaded like clip, so that will release the clicker,
right.
Instead of just clicking. It's like, right. Well, why is there this extra like security or like the pen needs a safety? Like, why? It makes no sense. I understand it for markers.
Keep minors from writing.
But the problem is, it would keep them writing.
Oh, because you can't get it off. Because
you can't get it undone if you don't know where the. That's true. The dumbest thing. But
yeah, I don't like pens that have extra gizmos and gadgets that like require you to that aren't conventional.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Like click on, click off.
Yeah,
that's pretty common.
Have you guys ever used those pens that have different colors on them? So you can like click down each like whatever color that you want to use on the pen?
Yes. Yeah.
I do like those.
Well, so I used to purposely try to get them stuck like a typewriter. Like, so you like try to push multiple.
Do two at once. Yeah, as a child, that was a big deal for me at my grandfather's.
How does that affect the ink? Like, how does that?
Oh, no, it just doesn't come. Nothing happens. I mean, that's not true, actually. If you did three at the right order, you could get...
Three
I think
out.
The most I could get was three out, and then you could have like a cool like
kaleidoscope effect or something.
Wow!
So
I
that
never
was
kind
of fun. If you then you also had to angle the pen right, because sometimes it would just be like the two like teeth, whatever. I don't know if they're called two tips, like over right. So you had to like make sure you got the angle right so that they actually wrote in like in parallel. It was a whole big.
That's kind of a built-in. A household object that gives you something to
do. Right, an additional activity.
Yeah.
We need to add that as a topic. Household items with additional activities.
The built-in fidgets. Yeah, that's what's...
Built-in fidgets. We'll have to add that to the 5x5 database. Is that the added
that's
sound?
That's the adding sound.
The added sound effect.
Yeah.
One of the things that drive me nuts about pens, because I don't like so many different kinds, is that when you have that jar or that coffee mug or whatever that you put pens in, somehow over time they will collect...
Yes.
The pens you don't like.
Yes, because you put them there.
Because they end up there. And then I have to purge them every once in a while. Well, speaking of purging, we just purged topic number one here on 5x5, and we're moving on to topic number two, which is prawns.
Prawns.
Like shrimp?
I think it's big shrimp.
Oh, okay.
Big shrimp.
I mean jumbo shrimp?
It's an oxymoron. What is a prawn?
Prawns are,
It's a big ass shrimp. Is it a shrimp?
I think a prawn is a shrimp.
Like technically?
Yeah, I just think it's another name for it. I don't know if it has anything to do with the size of it, though.
I'm pretty sure prawns are big.
Well, cause,
like, not big, it's not like a 5-foot prawn.
I always thought prawns were like crawdads and not shrimp. I thought it was separate.
Oh, it's like a different species.
Well.
We're going to find out.
So prawn is a common name for small aquatic crustaceans with an exoskeleton and 10 legs, some of which are edible. And I'm, there's a bunch of things I say. Is there a difference between prawns and shrimp? So I will keep. Yeah, it's got to be different because, like,
yeah, well, okay. You have it has a different name.
Yeah, prawns and crawdads are.
I always thought
so
it was
similar,
a regional thing.
Mm. Oh, so prawns are different from shrimp.
Yeah, because they literally have legs.
Okay. Does a shrimp not have a leg?
I thought shrimp had little legs, shrimp like tiny, legs? tiny
shrimp,
legs.
Shrimp has legs.
Like if you, I don't know, I'm imagining like peeling a shrimp.
Oh.
And the little legs that are on the bottom.
Yeah, we're not getting any biology awards at this table.
No.
Well, see, this says a shrimp is a crustacean with an elongated body and a primarily swimming mode of locomotion, typically belonging to the Caridia or so, and it's a completely different Wikipedia article.
Oh wow!
So
it's different, yeah.
Well, if they're different, then I guess they're different. So we've established at this point, at least in our understanding of science, that prawns and shrimp are two different things, although similar.
Yeah, very similar. It seems.
Right. So they would fall under maybe the same category in terms of like seafood.
It's all like the crustacean shellfish. So like in my grouping of seafood, it's like there's fish.
Right, there's fish.
Mm-hmm. Then there's like the crustaceans, and I put shrimp in that category.
A lot like with crabs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which technically I guess was right because it did say.
Yeah, they're all shelled.
But then I don't know what are scallops? Because I like scallops. But
I don't know what the hell a scallop
is. Oh, right, because there's no like shell there. Right.
Scallops feel manufactured to me. Like,
ooh.
You know what I mean?
They're bioengineered.
When I see a bowl of scallops, I feel like that a man made that.
They were made in a lab.
Well, they were cooked by a human.
Quote unquote made.
Yeah. So, scallop is a type of shellfish.
Okay, so it is a shellfish.
I've never seen a scallop shell.
Me neither. I don't know how a scallop operates in the wild.
It looks scary. yeah, I know you can't see what I'm seeing and what I'm showing the people.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, it looks like a Venus flytrap.
With like a lot more teeth.
A lot more teeth.
Or like a futuristic carousel.
Oh my God.
Oh,
yeah, that's
true. Yeah, I could see that.
All right, so for everybody who's listening at home, Google.
Yeah,
scallop. I don't know.
Google all three, honestly, because it's like
you're going to learn something today.
You will learn.
Google scallop and tap on the button that says images.
Yes,
and take a look at that thing.
Ugh, scary.
And that's a single scallop inside that.
Right.
Oh, I have no idea.
It's not like a bunch of them.
Is it? Is that how that works?
Well, here's a question for you. Okay. Speaking of scallops, scallops is plural.
Mm-hmm.
Refers to all of the little balls,
right,
of seafood.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the question, I guess, is do they all, like, if you open that shell, is there
multiple?
Are they scallops?
Or
is it a scallop?
Yeah.
Scallops is one of those words that feels wrong to say scallop.
It does. It does feel wrong to say singular.
It's, well.
Hey, can I have a scallop?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel
right.
Who's
asking for that?
Oh, but it is technically scallop. It's not scallops.
Okay.
And scallops are a cosmopolitan family of bivalves found in all of the world's oceans, although never in fresh water.
Wow.
Oh, always salt water.
Apparently, yeah.
What about, you know what it used to throw me as a kid? Scallop potatoes.
Oh,
yes.
There's no scallops involved in that.
Yeah, why is that? You know what?
I wonder if it's like a part of the cooking process to like scallop potatoes,
it's a verb.
Action.
You
yeah.
can scallop something. Do you like scallops?
I do, yeah.
Or like in the seafood world, what would you rank?
Okay, so in the seafood world, I feel like scallops for me are going to be a little bit lower on the list.
Okay, like you walk into a seafood restaurant and you're celebrating something and someone says, hey, sky's the limit.
Right.
Order whatever you want.
I would probably order mussels. I love mussels.
Mussels.
Mm. Yeah, maybe controversial, but I love mussels.
Why are mussels controversial?
I think that mussels are an acquired taste and an acquired texture for a lot of people. Because they're so like chewy, almost like rubbery.
Is a mussel an oyster?
I think
it's a mollusk. I know that. Which technically is also a scallop.
I think that they're part of the same family, but different.
Sort of like prawns and shrimp.
Yes.
Yeah.
So oysters are their own thing. Mussels are their own thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way about oysters that you feel about mussels? Like, would that be number two? Would that be a close two?
I think so, yes. Yeah, I
You're
do
into
think.
That. You're into the slurp.
Yeah, I like it. I like that it's an activity that I get to do while I'm eating.
That's true. Sort of like crabs.
Right.
Do you ever eat snow crabs?
Oh, so
those
good.
Big, long legs with the cracker.
Yes.
I've seen it. I'm not a, so like shellfish is not my thing.
Okay.
Understood.
Yeah. So it's, but quickly, there's competing origin stories of scallops or scalloped potatoes. There's apparently a word called collop to slice thinly in Old English.
Oh, so maybe that's where it originated.
Well, we've cracked the shell on topic number two of this episode of 5x5. We are moving on to topic number three, mom jeans.
Mom jeans.
Mom jeans. Yeah, mom jeans are interesting.
They're coming back.
Aren't
they? Did I make that up?
I feel like mom jeans came back once in my adult life and then are coming back again. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know if I love that they're called mom jeans.
Why is that?
And not just jeans. Okay. I don't know. I think that they don't have to be called mom jeans because they're not just for moms.
Well, for those in our non-jean aware audience, can we define mom jeans?
So mom jeans are like a looser fit, especially like around the waistband.
Okay.
And they're going to be a little bit more like straight leg towards the bottom. They're not going to taper like as if you're wearing a skinny jean.
No bell or skin.
Right.
By skin, I mean skinny.
Right.
So no bell bottom, no skinny jean, no like in or out. It's
right.
A straight leg.
It's a straight leg.
And then are high waisted, right?
Right. Yeah. But they're a little bit looser.
A looser high waist.
Yes. Whereas some high waisted jeans, if they were just called high waisted, might be a little bit more form fitting.
Oh.
Okay.
See, now what are dad jeans? Now that's the part, because that's a thing, but I never really quite.
Is
dad jeans?
Yeah.
Dad jeans.
Yeah, that's a thing. Because it was like the whole like normcore like Seinfeld look, but I didn't quite understand.
Acid wash, probably. Like the old 80s.
Really big straight pockets is what I'm imagining.
Straight leg acid wash. No, nothing. Nothing.
No, yeah, no form fitting. Whatsoever.
No form, nothing. No, yeah. No flare. No flare, no tight.
Could probably be have like elastic band. Like, you never
some elastic in the, yeah, like hidden elastic. I love that.
Yeah, covered with a fanny pack. Yeah.
I got to tell you one thing. There's a couple things about the old days that came back that I absolutely love. Fanny pack being one of them.
Oh, I do love a fanny pack. So convenient.
Thank God. I was a fanny pack fanatic back in the late 80s. My grandmother bought me a leather fanny pack. I'm not even kidding.
That's fancy.
She bought me a leather fanny. Unbelievable. Like it was hardcore. And then I got made fun of for a few years. Like, you know, it was cool, I'd say until like 1991.
Okay.
That was a good year.
It felt, it's the year of the digs.
Indeed.
I feel like that fanny packs originally were cool up until about like that, like I said, 90, and then they became the punchline, like overnight.
Mm.
It was like grunge killing hair metal. It was just like one day there was fanny packs and the next day there wasn't. And it was all tourists with khaki shorts, matching khaki shorts, like couples,
right.
You know what I mean?
And
matching
Hawaiian
t-shirts. Matching Hawaiian shirts, matching t-shirts, you know, I'm with, you know, with the finger pointing one direction
right.
Or the other. And it was, that was a fanny pack thing. It was a butt of the joke, but I'm really glad that they made a return. And
right.
The second thing I'm really excited about is elastic waistband jeans.
Oh, yes. No,
listen to me.
No.
Before I get the hate mail, listen, I'm not talking about the ones that you know. Like there are two kinds of elastic waistband jeans. There are the kind that you can tell.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No.
Then there's the kind that it's in there,
right.
But you can't tell.
Secret.
So I go to Kohl's last year. I need some new jeans.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
I go to Kohl's, not looking for jeans. I was looking for something else.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, Kohl's has some jeans here, some off-brand,
yeah.
Whatever the hell it's called. And I was like, I'm going to try a pair of these on because they were cheap.
Mm.
Like $20, right? Versus Hollister, you
right,
know,
yeah.
$90 or something stupid like that.
Ugh.
And they have elastic in the waistband, right? And I bought the right size and I didn't put on weight or anything, but they just feel so comfortable.
Right.
They just sort of wrap around.
Mm-hmm.
And the elastic just makes it so I never have that Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving dinner feeling.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you can actually like move around a little bit more in them. They have a little more give.
Absolutely.
Hmm. Is it cause I'm thinking of like dress pants that have like the, that are.
Yeah, no, it's so subtle. I don't even.
No. The dress pants are subtle. It's like in the.
Yeah, inside.
Yeah. So is that what the jeans are like?
It's not quite like the dress pants, these particular jeans, but it could be placebo. I'll be honest with you. It says there's elastic in them.
Mm.
I don't know for sure if there's elastic in them. They feel great. But there's no evidence. Like, I'm not looking at it going, oh, there's the little strip of elasticity.
Right, you're not dissecting the genes.
I'm not opening it up. I'm not opening it up, and I'm not. And it feels like it's intended to be woven in somehow to the denim.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell for sure. I'm not going to break it down.
You'll know in like 2 years once the elastic wears out.
It starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
They're great though. So I'm really grateful for those. And I don't know. I feel like that went away for a while. I feel like that there was the original version of elastic waistband jeans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a fail because nobody wanted to wear them.
Mm.
And then the scientists went back in the lab.
You know what I'm saying? They're
like, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix this.
Dr.
We're going to come out on. Yeah, we're going
to. Dr. Lee.
Dr. Lee and Dr. Levi's.
Yeah.
Dr. Jordache was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwback.
Dr.
Do you have a preference in jeans? Do you have like a jean preference, Star?
I do. I have always preferred a skinny jean. I like a jean that's a little bit more form-fitting. When I was growing up, I really liked colorful skinny jeans.
Okay. Mm.
I had a hot pink pair. I had a purple pair. And I had a red pair.
Hmm.
I love them very much.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never had colored skinny jeans. I had some skinny jeans, but man.
Yeah.
Gotta branch out.
That sounds amazing.
I kind of wish I could wear them again.
Well, the elastic is worn out on topic number three, friends. It's time for topic number four, which is The Sopranos.
The Sopranos. Ooh.
The Sopranos.
Can I tell you all a little secret?
Uh-oh. I'd love to hear a secret.
I've never watched The Sopranos.
Ever.
Ever.
So that's technically true. That's kind of half true for me. But like my dad was a big fan and it was just that it came on so late that I would fall asleep. So it wasn't like
like background noise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
you subliminally.
Yeah, it's embedded in your subconscious.
It was almost like that the theme song would start. And the theme song literally starts with woke up this morning. And for me, that was like time for bed. Because it was like 9 or 10 like back in the day, like when it was like airing live on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was always just like as soon as I heard it, it was
what was the run to 2000s, maybe start of
it was
late 90s.
Yeah, it was definitely like 98 99 to like 03, maybe 04.
Pretty decent run,
because I remember they had to take they were one of the shows that had to take the Twin Towers out of their out of their intro because it like predated and then was after. But I mean, we can, you know.
The research department's on it. Okay, so you haven't seen The Sopranos. How about other mafia-related films or television programs?
I can't say that I have. The only other one that comes to mind is like The Godfather.
The Godfather would be a classic, yeah.
And I only know cultural references about The Godfather. I've never sat down and watched the film.
Isn't it amazing how pop culture, like films, like become so embedded in the culture that you cannot even see. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I did this recently with Lord of the Flies.
Love Lord of the Flies.
So I would make reference to things. I would use Lord of the Flies as an example, and I had never seen the movie
or read the book.
Like I had never.
The book is incredible.
I had never participated. In fact, in my mind, Lord of the Flies came out in like 1980. Like in my brain, okay? And because there's this whole thing with my grandfather had HBO and I can kind of remember seeing it on the HBO guide that would come, the little booklet that would come in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for you kids, HBO used to be a channel.
Right, not a streaming service. Yes.
And it stands for?
Home box office.
Right.
Box office
is related to movies. It's a whole thing. Just Google it.
Watch movies at home. It's a whole thing. We won't put it in as a topic. Anyway. I literally would make references to Lord of the Flies. And the other night, maybe 2 months ago, it was available on something that I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch this movie. And I watched it. And I was like, I've never seen this movie. Then I did some research on it. And it came out like in 1989, which is why I never saw it. Because I went to college in 1989 and I didn't have a television.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
For like 10 years, I didn't have an active, like I didn't own a television.
Yeah.
Till like the late 90s. And so, and I didn't have any money. I wasn't going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a college that didn't really have like things like that.
A theater, yeah.
Got it.
So I never saw it. And I watched it and it was a fascinating movie. Yeah. And now I make references to it all the time. Like, like now I'm confident in my references. That was a little dodgy.
Yeah.
Sopranos.
99 to 07. It ran later than I thought.
It's an 8-year run.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
For a television series.
6 seasons over that time. Because, you know, HBO does the short
Right
seasons
right absolutely
but I think the the reason Sopranos is so in the zeitgeist is because, so Tony Soprano is the main character, is a mafioso guy. I think he starts as a capo and like works his way up to being the boss. But for, and yeah, Google the terms. I'm not going to just, the capo is like the number three person.
Got it.
They run
Speaker
a,
of the house.
A crew. yeah, that was good. So like there's a whole thing where like the head of the family is actually in jail when the show starts. So the underboss is the son, is the acting boss. So Tony and his uncle are capos, who then there's a whole thing about like the acting boss dies and then there's a power struggle, but Tony's like, hey uncle, you're older than me, you be the boss, but really Tony's the boss. But he's such a he's a mafioso who's actually in therapy for his shit, and I think also is a informant at some point too. But like, it's the way that the character's developed, and he's such a likable bad guy because he's like
sort of an everyman.
Yeah, because it's the everyman version of like you know the mafia's his family, and like okay. La Cosa Nostra is everything. Da 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 da. So it's just it became this thing of like the likable bad guy. I mean, I'm sure there are other examples of it, but he really did like embody it as like an actor, and the character became its own like.
Yeah, Tony Soprano's going to go down in history.
Yeah, James Gandolfini. I mean, the actors who like died too young, like he was. I feel like he was still underrated for some reason, even after The Sopranos. But he
I agree.
Like
it's
so
just
good.
In the ether, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing about the mafia stuff to me that's always been fascinating because especially in the 80s. The fact that organized crime became this like well of entertainment, like Goodfellas, right? After The Godfathers, right? He had like the Goodfellas and Casino and I don't know some of these movies that, you know, The Irishman most recently.
Yeah.
But you have like these like, it's like crime, it's like this organized crime, like these really bad actors who became sort of this it's like pop culture. I don't know. Well, we just gunned down topic number four.
We painted a house. That's what we did.
And we're moving on to topic number five. Family Feud.
Oh, my God.
Family Feud.
Family loves Family Feud.
Do they feud or they love Family Feud?
Oh, we're not going to get into that. but they do love the television show Family Feud.
Is there a feud over who's the best host of late?
I don't think there's a. I haven't heard opinions.
Okay,
all right. Take me through. I'm a Richard Dawson guy from way back.
Oh, from way back. Oh, okay. Oh man.
Look, I'm gonna admit that's the last time I think I ever watched it.
Well, but you've had to have seen clips.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like I've seen my grandmother. Rest in peace. She died like in 2016. She had the Game Show Network on 24/7 in her house. That was her. That was her. White noise.
Wow.
And so when you would go see grandma and they would just roll them.
Yeah.
You couldn't not see some. So don't get me wrong.
You've seen it.
I've seen it. But my memory of Family Feud, what pops into my head is the late 70s, being sick, staying home from school, and it being on TV. Because back in the day, for those of you in later generations, the only thing you could watch was whatever was on daytime television.
Right.
And that was typically soap operas and game shows.
What a world.
Yeah. And later talk shows like Oprah Winfrey and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I would watch Family Feud. I'd watch it when I'm sick, laying on my grandma's couch.
Yeah.
So who are the more recent?
Well, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey's kind of the
My epic. Family is very into Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Okay.
They really like him a lot. And all of his quirks.
There was a guy from Home Improvement, Tim Allen's friend. I can't think of his name.
Obviously didn't kill it.
No. He actually did a really good job. It's just like no one is as charismatic as Steve Harvey, like for a show like that. So kind of like the clips from his time hosting are also funny because the people were just as ridiculous.
Right.
It's just that Steve leans into I'm going to draw this out to like get the clip.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas he fishes for the soundbite.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
definitely a comedian.
Oh man, it's the
ridiculous things.
The porcupine one. I don't know if you.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
All right, we'll have to put a clip.
Yes, yeah, so you do have to put
in
a clip
the show notes on that because I'm not familiar with that.
Cupine. Sorry. It'll make. I don't remember what the question was. It was something like, what's another word that ends? It's something like you had to finish a word. It started with pork or something. And
yeah.
And the guy, literally the contestant said cupine.
Cupine. That's great.
Harvey lost it. But anyway, there's tons more where that came from.
Now, Star, I know your family is a big fan.
Yes.
But are you a big fan of Family Feud?
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I hate to break it to him.
No, not setting the DVR.
You need to set up witness protection for you.
I don't love it as much as they do, but I love how much they love it.
That's
my favorite part. Is whenever they get really excited about something, specifically a humorous television show, and they all sort of like bond together around it, even if I don't like necessarily feel the passion that they do, I like witnessing it.
Okay,
that's my entertainment.
I think that's fair.
Now, what if you could set the game show that mm-hmm. they enjoy, or is it? Well, let me back up. Do you enjoy game shows?
No, not really.
Okay, so
I get bored really fast.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know what it is.
There's no game show that holds
your
attention.
Even with like a pen, you could click while watching.
Like potentially that could help. Maybe I need a fidget while I'm watching. But I want to participate is the problem.
But you can.
Kind of. But people are answering for me, and I don't really like that.
Wait, what do you...
Like, I want to be a contestant.
Did she...
Oh!
You want to actually go.
I want to be on the game show. Right. Is
I
the
see.
Problem.
Come on down. Come on
I don't
down.
Like being in the audience of yeah. it.
Ah. But, okay. All right, fair enough. I can respect that.
Have you ever gone to a game show, Diggs?
No. Aren't they all recorded in California?
Well.
That feels about right.
Yeah, because every time... Like,
are
when
all
I
of them?
When I was sick, it was always like, and live from Burbank. Like,
Oh, I think the lion's share are, but being from New York City, I would assume that something was recorded.
Is there one,
maybe
in New
not.
York? Oh, you know which one was recorded in New York? Now that I'm thinking about it. The original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I was going to say, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I forgot about that, because Regis Philbin, he wasn't flying anywhere. he stayed his butt in New York.
It felt like that would be a New York show.
Yeah, I think so. I... Watch me find out. It was actually like that was the one thing he actually flew across the country for in,
right.
in his old age.
We'll do a correction if that's the case.
Right, we'll fact check that.
But yeah, I can't think of any other game show that would have been in New York or I know some things were recorded in Connecticut, but I find
the whole culture of the game shows just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some documentaries out there.
Mm.
There's a Price is Right documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to say anything else about it other than it exists. And that I recommend it. We'll put a link in the show notes to this. There was a guy who gamed it. He figured out how he wrote a computer program. And when I say that, it sounds like I'm old and I'm referring to something in the because it was. He was writing like an old school computer program and loading data into this computer program for it to determine how to essentially game the system. And it was a documentary about it that was fascinating. So I'm going to put a link to that.
No corrections needed. It was originally in New York and is now, it was recording in California when it ended for like 2 years. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But it was in New York for like 15 years.
Well, the survey has officially said on topic number 5.
You are the father. I'm just mixing media now.
That's it. Isn't that the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting?
It is truly the fastest.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we just got started.
We did.
I feel like
just got warmed up.
I feel like that in the future, if I'm waiting, like I'm at an airport and I'm waiting for 10 hours or whatever for my mm-hmm. flight, that I should just do 5x5 episodes. That
yeah.
the time would go so fast.
Right.
I could just recruit people.
Just find people in the airport.
Get me on a laptop, and then just
yeah, we could Zoom it.
Yeah,
we could do it like the old days, StreamYard.
Yeah, let's do it.
And just bring somebody
mm-hmm. 5x5 on the road.
You heard it here first.
Nobody would think I'm totally nuts if I walked up to them in an airport and said, "Excuse me, ma'am."
With me on the screen.
Yeah.
Would you like to join?
This is my friend. This
That's
is my
not
friend
that
Diggs.
Strange. There's plenty of TikTokers who go up to people now with those tiny microphones.
I'm
like. Tell me what song you're listening to right now,
yeah.
or like name a woman. They do random things
yeah.
like that.
That's true. Random TikTok and crap. That's a yeah. new topic.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Oh, Star, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I very much enjoyed being here.
And we are forever grateful for all the work you do on this program, behind the scenes, and more to come. So that's it. We're wrapped up. Episode 79.
Wow.
For everybody out there who took the time to listen, you know, there are a lot of podcasts you could listen to.
Absolutely.
So we're so thankful that, number one, you listened to this one, and number two, you're still listening to hear this, to hear my voice express my gratitude. So we will catch you all next time on Five by Five.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at The Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy. Find 5x5
at the Candy Factory website, coworkinginlancaster.com.
That was excellent.
That's it.
I need coffee badly, so I'm going to go.